when Aeneas recounts this dream to Anchises, Anchises remembers that Cassandra had prophesied this as well. Of course, as you may know, Cassandra's dreadful curse, her punishment for promising first to sleep with the god Apollo, whereupon he gave her the gift of prophecy, and then going back on her word, her punishment was that she had the gift of prophecy, but no one ever believed her. So Anchises can now remember, now when Cassandra is a thing of the past, Anchises can remember Cassandra once prophesied that we would end up in Italy. Now he can believe her. The Trojans sail on from Crete, heading for this mysterious land of Italy. The next place they land is on an island inhabited by harpies, dreadful monsters, female birds, sort of half human and half bird, who foul all the food that the Trojans try to eat, drive them away from their food, drive them away from their island. But the leader of the harpies, named Celaeno, reiterates that their goal is Italy. She also gives a very ominous sounding prophecy. She tells them before they reach their final destination, before they can found their city, hunger will drive them to eat their tables. Not a very auspicious sounding prophecy. Next, they arrive in Epirus, a part of Greece, where they encounter two Trojan survivors, Helenus and Andromache, both of whom had been taken as slaves by Achilles' son Pyrrhus, and after his death had set up their own city, which they have modeled on the ancient Troy. Helenus, too, is a prophet. He's a son of Priam and a prophet, and he prophesies for the Trojans as well. He tells them that they will know the site of their new city when they find a white sow nursing a litter of 30 piglets. He tells them that they must try to appease Juno, that a great many of their troubles are caused by the anger of the goddess Juno. And Helenus tells Aeneas that when he comes to Italy, he must visit the Cumaean Sibyl. The Sibyl is a prophetess of Apollo, a woman who lives in a cave, who worships Apollo, follows Apollo, who has been given the gift of prophecy by Apollo. And as we'll see in Book 6 of the Aeneid, the Sibyl is extremely important because she serves as a guide for Aeneas' journey to the underworld. So the first time the Cumaean Sibyl is mentioned in the Aeneid is when Helenus tells Aeneas that he must pay a visit to the Sibyl. The next stop and the last stop before they set sail for Carthage, or set sail and are shipwrecked and blown off course to Carthage, is in Sicily. Now, Virgil identifies Sicily with the land of the Cyclops Polyphemus, who figures so memorably in Homer's Odyssey. And when Aeneas and his Trojans land on Sicily, in fact, they find a Greek named Achaemenides, who is a castaway there, marooned there, who had been left there by Ulysses 3 months previously. There's several little details to notice there. First of all, Aeneas is following right in Odysseus's footsteps. He's just a few months behind Odysseus, Ulysses, of course, in Latin. Secondly, once again, think of the contrast that's made here between Greek and Trojan. The Greeks are so cruel that they sail away, leaving one of their crew members behind with the monstrous Cyclops Polyphemus, and don't even go back and get him. Poor Achaemenides has been living from hand to mouth, always in terror that the Cyclops will catch him and eat him, as the Cyclops had eaten several of Odysseus's men in the Odyssey. What do the Trojans do? They pity him, they take him in, they let him become one of their comrades. So once again, the cruelty of the Greeks is contrasted to the nobility and compassion of Aeneas and the Trojans. The other crucially important thing that happens in Sicily is that Anchises dies. Anchises makes it as close to Italy as Sicily, but at this point, speaking metaphorically again, the past has to be left behind. Anchises dies and is buried in Sicily, and this is the last detail that Aeneas recounts to Dido before he says that from there the storm winds brought us to your land. We landed in Carthage. And so he is told the entire story from leaving Troy to arriving in Carthage and being greeted by Dido. So, in this lecture, we followed Aeneas' account of his adventures as told to Dido. We saw in the one detail about Creusa, I mentioned how Dido's passion could be exacerbated. It's caused by Venus, but the events that Aeneas narrates can increase Dido's passion. I'm always reminded when I think about this book of Othello's lines in Shakespeare's play about Desdemona. She loved me for the dangers I had passed. I think a very similar thing is happening with Dido. In the next lecture, we'll see the result of Dido's love and passion for Aeneas and what it means for her.